Blessed be God, who enables us through the Holy Spirit to praise his holy name. Let us therefore bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit by proclaiming, Blessed be God forever. With this podcast, we gather to listen to God's holy word. In order to prepare our hearts for this task, we begin by acknowledging our sins and saying the following act of contrition. O my God, I repent with my whole heart of all of my sins. I detest them, for it is by them that I deserve the loss of heaven and all the sufferings of hell. But it is also by them that most of all I have offended you, infinite goodness. And it is because of this I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, a grace that I ask you to grant me now and always, that I will do what penance I can, and desire to rather die than offend you again. Amen. O Lord, be in our hearts, and on our lips, and shown in our lives, so that we may proclaim and know the word of the Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house. They have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Now, son of man, during the day, while they are looking on, prepare your baggage as though for exile. And again, while they are looking on, migrate from where you live to another place. Perhaps they will see that they are a rebellious house. You shall bring out your baggage like an exile in the daytime, while they are looking on. In the evening, again, while they are looking on, you shall go out like one of those driven into exile. While they are looking on, dig a hole in the wall and pass through it. While they look on, shoulder the burden and set out in the darkness. Cover your face, that you may not see the land, for I have made you a sign for the house of Israel. I did as I was told. During the day I brought out my baggage, as though it were that of an exile. And at evening I dug a hole through the wall with my hand, and while they looked on, set out in the darkness, shouldering my burden. Then in the morning the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, did not the house of Israel, that rebellious house, ask you what you were doing? Tell them, thus says the Lord God, this oracle concerns Jerusalem and the entire house of Israel within it. I am a sign for you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. As captives they shall go into exile. The prince who is among them shall shoulder his burden and set out in darkness, going through a hole as he has dug out in the wall, and covering his face, lest he be seen by anyone. The word of the Lord. Do not forget the works of the Lord. Do not forget the works of the Lord. They tempted and rebelled against God the Most High and kept not his decrees. They turned back and were faithless like their fathers. They recoiled like a treacherous bow. Do not forget the works of the Lord. They angered him with their high places, and with their idols roused his jealousy. God heard and was enraged, and utterly rejected Israel. Do not forget the works of the Lord. And he surrendered his strength into captivity, his glory into the hands of the foe. He abandoned his people to the sword, and was enraged against his inheritance. Do not forget the works of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. Let your countenance shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, the master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the entire affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant, as I had pity on you? Then, in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the entire debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea, across from the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord. These readings today highlight to us something that I like to consider to be the great F word in Christianity. And I don't mean it in the sense of vulgarity, as some might take the F word phrase to be. But it's just highlighting that the most important word in Christianity is a word that starts with the letter F. Unfortunately, because of current trends in modern preaching and the rise of Protestantism, the wrong F word gained prominence. You see, most people, when they talk about Christianity, they talk about faith. You know, the just shall live by faith. By grace you are saved through faith, so you need faith. And there's this great sola fide, or only faith doctrine, that has grown since the time of Martin Luther in the 15th century, 1500s, that highlighted the what Christianity became because of the Protestant Reformation. But that's not the F word here in this particular reading set that we get today from Ezekiel, the response, and even the gospel. No, the F word that is highlighted in all three, or at least brought to mind, is simply this: the F word of forgiveness. A lot of us don't really get this because of how we live our lives. We hold grudges. It's real easy for us to not want to let things go when bad things happen to us. I've been there myself many, many times. In fact, I've moaned and groaned about a few of the wrongs that have happened to me when I was a seminarian, even through this podcast. And to a degree, this podcast has been kind of a way of me processing that and also trying to give you something of the knowledge that I've gotten from doing that part of the race, finding out that part of my life and fitting that into some kind of purpose that's greater than anything else. But if we pay attention to these readings, we're missing the biggest F word in Christianity. The F word known as forgiveness. You see, in the gospel reading, it begins this way. Peter approached Jesus and asked, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" A lot of people don't understand why he asked seven times. In my mind's eye, I think he had the view of what was taught in the book of Proverbs. Because in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, we read in Scripture that though the just fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble from only one mishap. And he's thinking, okay, seven times the righteous are brought back, and if it goes beyond that, be done with them. And many people like that kind of phraseology. Or thought process, that if somebody does you wrong, you hold a grudge if it's too deep. You get into what modern society has dubbed cancel culture, and you spurn them from your lives because they're no longer good for you. Now, there is a point where you don't have certain individuals in your life because they're toxic and harmful. But at the same time, you shouldn't keep them in your heart because you don't forgive them. And that's the point of the parable here. And what Jesus is talking about is not just forgiving somebody seven times, but going that extra mile and forgiving them 77 times. And I know you're sitting back and you're going, 77 times, that's a lot. What basis is this in Scripture? Well, let's look at another event that happened. See, there was this Cain and Abel story that we get. And we have the discussion being put out that Cain would be a wanderer on the face of the earth. And God had to put a mark on him and said that if anyone would kill Cain, Cain shall be avenged seven times. And for that reason, God put a mark on Cain. That's what we get in Genesis chapter 4, verse 15. Because God puts a mark. Just like we read yesterday in the liturgy, where we're hearing from Ezekiel about the tau being put on people. And it's bringing out this idea of the mark of God on our lives. But why is it that we're looking at it from the standpoint of being forgiven 77 times? If you go a little bit further down in Genesis chapter 4, you'll read a story about a man by the name of Lamech. See, Lamech had two wives. Name of one was Adah and the other was Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal, who became the ancestors of such that dwell in tents and keep livestock. Basically, he was a nomad, one of the first. His brother's name was Jubal, who also became the father or the ancestor of all who play the lyre and the reed pipe. Basically, he was Jubal. He was jubilant, jubilee. He was the one that started music, if you will. Zillah gave birth to Tubal-Cain, who forged instruments of bronze and iron. There's a lot of history in that we could get into at some point, and it's brought out in here.
and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech says to his wives one day, hey, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. We're right here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Listen to my voice, wives of Lamech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and a young man for bruising me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. That's where the number 77 came out of. It's showing the mercy of God in not striking people down or avenging them because they murdered someone. There's a little more in this text that we can get into throughout the next couple days if I really got around to teaching on it. But the thought is that God is very forgiving. And he doesn't just forgive you a limited amount of times. He makes it to where it's almost impossible to keep track of the count. Because if you're keeping track of the count to 77 times, you haven't forgiven somebody even once. And that's kind of the lesson that we get in the story that we get, the parable that we get about the unjust steward. The one who receives forgiveness but then exacts the penalty of getting paid back from his debtors, those that owe him. And it's a reminder of the difference between the greatness of God and the love that we should be showing. In fact, Jesus even puts it in these words, if you do not forgive those who trespass against you, your trespasses are not forgiven. That's why the Our Father says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. You see, it's the as we forgive that makes us saved, that brings us truly into the life of God. And it's because we realize the true nature of God, and therefore we receive that forgiveness. That's why the responsorial psalm says, do not forget the works of the Lord. Do not be tempted and rebel against the God Most High. Keep his decrees. Because if you don't, and you end up to be faithless because of your unforgiveness, you're going to be destroyed. Because God will hear and be enraged. He will surrender his strength into captivity, meaning you and me will go into captivity to our sins, and the glory of his hands to the foe. That's you and me. He'll let us go off. And it talks to us a little bit about the nature of purgatory, because if we pay attention, the servant is still considered to be a servant, but he has to pay his entire debt. If he does, and he will pay that debt to the final penny, is pretty much what it's trying to tell you. Because if you really look at the reading, it says, then in anger, the master handed him over to the torturers until he should have paid back the entire debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. We need to stop holding an accounting of other people's lives, wanting to see them ruined. Trust me, it's real easy. And I've thought about this many times in the last couple weeks and months, because one of the biggest lessons God's trying to get across to me, and I think I'm finally getting it on some level, is that I have to let go of the pain to the point that I stop wanting to see people get punched in the mouth for how they treated me. Think about it. If God basically judged everybody that did you wrong, who would you have left in your life? And really, the only person that becomes enslaved by that situation is you, because you never get past the wrong. You become a rebellious house like Ezekiel was prophesying against. And you end up going into slavery. And he gave the prophecy that you see, that he went and he told them, "Thus says the Lord, your God." This is the oracle that concerns Jerusalem and the entire house of Israel within it. Ezekiel was a sign. And as he had done, so shall it be done to them. They'll go out into exile. The prince will carry his burden and set out in darkness. Because he no longer gets to see the face of God. And his face won't be seen by them either. Because they don't recognize God in their brothers. My dear brothers and sisters, as you listen to this podcast today, I hope you really get it. The thing that God wants most, the thing that God asks for most, is not that you just believe passively, but that you change your life and forgive because you believe that you are forgiven of all your sins and are no longer going to hell. And therefore, there is no one on the face of this earth that you need to be righted by. You see, Revelation 21:4 tells us God will wipe every tear from our eye. The need for justice is a tear that will be wiped from our eye. If you believe, have that faithfulness to forgive as you have been forgiven.
We who have listened to your word and pondered its meaning now turn to you to declare our faith in response by saying, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. At the invitation of Christ, we come, dear Father, to await before your throne. We stand here not in our own righteousness, but we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Son. As a result, we who have received your grace and our hearts, which are warmed by your Holy Spirit, now are inclined to praise you and say, Blessed are you, Lord, our God and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and awesome God. God supreme, who extends loving kindness and is master of all, who remembers the gracious deeds of our forefathers, and who has brought a Redeemer with love to their children's children for his name's sake. King, Helper, Savior, and Protector, blessed are you, Lord, Protector of Abraham. Your might is eternal, O Lord, who revives the dead, powerful in saving, who sustains the living with loving kindness, who revives the dead with great mercy, who supports the fallen, heals the sick, frees the captive, and keeps faith with the dead. Who is like you, Almighty, and who resembles you, O King, who can bring death and give life, and make salvation blossom forth? And faithful are you to revive the dead. Blessed are you, Lord, who makes the dead live. You are holy, and your name is holy, and those who are holy shall praise you every day. Blessed are you, Lord, the holy God. You grant knowledge to man and teach understanding to humans. From your own self, favor us with knowledge, understanding, and sense. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of knowledge. Return us, our Father, to your word, and draw us closer, our King, to your worship, and bring us back before you in complete repentance. Blessed are you, Lord, who desires repentance. Forgive us, our Father, for we have sinned. Pardon us, our King, for we have transgressed. For you are a pardoner and forgiver. Blessed are you, Lord, the gracious one who forgives abundantly. Look upon us in our suffering and fight our struggles. Redeem us speedily for your name's sake, for you are a mighty Redeemer. Blessed are you, Lord, Redeemer of Israel. Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Save us, and we shall be saved. For you are our glory. Send complete healing for our every illness. For you, Divine King, are the faithful, merciful Physician. Blessed are you, Lord, who heals the sick of his people, Israel. Bless this year for us, O Lord our God, and all its varied produce, that it be for good. Provide blessing on the face of the earth. Satisfy us with your goodness, and bless this year like the good years. Blessed are you, Lord, who blesses the years. Sound the great shofar to proclaim our freedom. Lift up a banner for the ingathering of our exiles, and bring us together from the four corners of the earth. Blessed are you, Lord, who gathers together the dispersed of his people Israel. Restore our judges as at the first, and our counselors as in the beginning, removing from us sorrow and sighing. Rule over us, you alone, O Lord, with kindness and mercy, and vindicate us in the judgment. Blessed are you, Lord, King who loves righteousness and judgment. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may always be free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of his glorious majesty, forever and ever. On the righteous and the saintly, on the elders of your people, the house of Israel, and on their surviving scholars, on the true proselyte, and on ourselves, let your compassion flow, O Lord our God. Grant a good reward to all who sincerely trust in your name. Place our lot with them forever, and let us not be ashamed. For in you do we trust. Blessed are you, Lord, the support and security of the righteous. To Jerusalem, your city, return with compassion, and dwell within it as you promised. Rebuild it soon in our days as an everlasting structure, and speedily establish in its midst the throne of David. Blessed are you, Lord, builder of Jerusalem. Concerning the offspring of your servant David, Jesus Christ, quickly cause him to flourish and lift up his power by your deliverance. For your deliverance we constantly hope. Blessed are you, Lord, who makes the glory of deliverance to flourish. Hear our voice, O Lord, our God. Show compassion and mercy to us. Accept our prayers with mercy and favor. For you are a God who hears prayers and supplications. And from your presence, O God, turn us not away empty. For you hear the prayer of your people Israel with compassion. Blessed are you, Lord, who hears prayer. Favorably receive, O Lord our God, your people Israel and their prayer. Restore the worship to your temple in Zion. Receive with love and favor the offerings of Israel and their prayer. And may the worship of your people Israel always be favorably received by you. May our eyes behold your return to Zion in mercy. Blessed are you, Lord, who restores his divine presence to Zion. We give thanks unto you, who are the Lord our God, and God of our fathers for all eternity. You are the strength of our lives, the shield of our deliverance. In every generation we shall thank you and declare your praise, for our lives that are entrusted into your hand, and for our souls that are in your care, and for your miracles that are daily with us, and for your wondrous deeds and goodness that occur at all times, evening, morning, and noon. You are the benevolent one, for your mercies are never ended, the compassionate one, for your deeds of kindness do not stop. Always have we placed our hope in you. For all this, O our King, may your name be always blessed and exalted forever and ever. All the living will forever thank you and praise your name in truth. O God, our eternal salvation and help. Blessed are you, Lord, whose name is goodness. It is pleasing to give thanks to you. Establish peace, well-being, blessing, grace, loving kindness, and mercy upon us, and upon all Israel, your people. Bless us, our Father, all of us as one, by the light of your presence. For by the light of your presence have you given us, O Lord, our God, a Torah of life, love of kindness, justice, blessing, compassion, life, and peace. And it is good in your sight to bless your people Israel at all times and in every hour with your peace. Blessed are you, Lord, who blesses his people Israel with peace. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. My God, guard my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking deceit. Let my soul be silent to them that curse me. Yes, let my soul be like dust unto all. Open my heart to your word, and let my soul pursue your commandments. And all who think evil against me, quickly annul their designs and frustrate their intentions. May it be your will, O Lord, our God and God of our fathers, that no person be jealous of me, nor I of others, that I not become angry, and that I not anger you. Save me from the evil inclination, and place humility in my heart. Do it for the sake of your name, and for the sake of your might, for the sake of your holiness, for the sake of your word, in order that your loved ones may be saved. Save me through your might and answer my prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. May he who makes peace in the heavens make peace for us and for all Israel, and say, Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us offer the prayer Christ himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Let us go in peace and glorify the Lord with how we live among others. Thanks be to God.